This is Biggie, and you're listening to the best of the New Day, Feel the Power on Spotify.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Welcome to the world's greatest podcast entitled The New Day. Feel the power,
baby. Yeah.
This is a very special episode to me.
We got my best friend here, Michael Mosley. Just looking.
BFF, Uncle
Is this
Momo.
A sweater that you've cut up into a t-shirt or?
Nah, man. I'm just a big guy.
So we've had somebody that knew E in college. We had somebody on who knew Kof in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's my turn, I guess, to have a bunch of stories about myself that have been locked in a vault.
I'd never do that.
Open up.
Yeah, roast
normally.
Them. Roast them, Momo.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 billion, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
So we've been through a lot.
Yeah, we have.
We've known each other for a very long time. You like to speak. You like to talk. So I'm just going to, the floor is yours. Where do you want to?
I got something for you.
Wow.
I got a story for
you.
Oh,
what's that?
I would like to start out soft. And
That's how I like it.
I want to talk about what happened.
Where do we go from there?
My friend here, Austin here. So imagine he gets to TNA. Yay. Excited for him. It's my dude. Excited for him. And I'm living in Orlando at the time. So I come to every one of his matches. And I'm sitting, right? I worked at Universal. So I'm sitting in the front row with all the cast, right? So every time he comes out, I always give him
That was a thumbs up.
That's what it was.
Thumbs up.
Sorry, thumbs up.
You gotta let people know.
Aggressive thumbs up.
Yeah, it's boom. Yeah. He's at the top, you know, turnbuckle doing his thing. I'll give him the ha. I'm here, brother. Got your back. So about the time I'm still working, right? I'm still wrestling. And I'm at NWA Anarchy. That's where Creed came from, where Austin came from. And so he comes to a show. And I'm like, yeah. All right, he's here. My dude's here. I watch him all the time. He's going to watch me because that's the natural thing, right?
So I go to him.
I'm like, yo, hey, man, do you mind watching my match? He's like, yeah, of course. I got you. I'm like, boom. Heart's feeling good. And I'm trying some of my new stuff out because I'm like, he's about to watch it. So I go out there. I put on the best 7 minutes of my life. That's from bell to bell. 7 minutes. Bell to bell. Yeah. 7 minutes. Bell to bell. Come back from the back, dripping and glistening, excited to talk. Look around. Where is he at? He's not there. I walk outside. He's just yapping to his friends. So I say to him, I go, do you happen to watch my match? He goes, not now, kid.
No. No way. No.
Not now, kid.
No. Listen to me. I brought you on this podcast. You don't be lying
let
on
him,
me.
Let him come on. Let him. Don't you have to say
he's true on me.
But on the real, he's like, nah, man, I didn't watch it, man. I'm sorry, man. I didn't watch it. So I'm mad now. I'm hot. Right,
phone
but you're like friend hot, like you're mad, but you can't tell him that you're mad, but he knows you're mad.
Passive aggressive.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, yeah, it's cool. Don't worry about it. It wasn't that good of a match anyway.
You ever know me to be passive aggressive?
It's fine. It's good. It's all good. So then I'm like, he didn't watch my match. Mad about it. So then a few months later, after he knows I'm upset about it, I'm living like in Orlando. There's a little show, probably the worst show I've ever worked ever. Just like maybe eight people in the crowd, and like the promoter hurt himself because he went through a flaming table because he thought that's what the eight people wanted to see.
That's what they need.
They want to see you on fire. So I'm working this show, and I'm like, at this point, I'm like, okay, this is a good spot for me to develop new character stuff because no one's here, but I could try it out. It's almost like a second rehearsal, if you will, before I take it to some of these other shows. So I'm out there, you know, working on some stuff. I'm like, okay, I'll try this. If it's bad, well, it's bad, but it's okay because no one will ever see it, right? It's cool. So my music hits.
Well, I got to give the other side of the story. So when we were in FCW, there was a stigma like, oh, we shouldn't go to indie shows because, you know, someone might see you there and realize you're signed with WWE and it's like trouble. And so, I don't know, I'd been there for a few months and I was like, why would I get in trouble for watching more wrestling? So I got a bunch of people together. I was like, hey, let's find an indie show somewhere, guys. So it's like me, EC3, Bobby Dutch, Celeste was there. I want to say like maybe Richie Steamboat. Like we were like 7-8 people deep. We took two cars. We get some like big gulps. We've got like snacks, candies, everything. We find a show. We're like driving by one. We're like, oh my God, this is the show we got to go to. We go in, we pay the fee, and we sit down. And now this is where the show
like
is
first match.
The show is just starting. We got there just in time to hear the announcer say, coming to the ring, Michael Mosley. I lose my mind. I am screaming. I tell everybody, that's my friend. That's my friend. So they start losing their minds. Here you go.
So, again, I'm thinking no one's there. It's cool. So music hits and people are cheering. And I'm like, wow.
That's the sound of cheers. Oh, wow. This is new.
Wow. They must be feeding that in through the intercom system. So I walk out. And I look up and, like, my eyes get wide because I see him. And I'm like, no, not this one. Not this show. No. Pick another one. I don't want to do it anymore. Worst show. I'm nervous. I almost want to go give them their money back. Thank you guys for coming. Sorry about that. See, I was trying some new things. I don't usually suck like this. This is new stuff.
It was so good because just the fear on his face as he walked through the curtain and like started scanning to see like who it was. And I see him turn to me and we catch eyes and I'm like, and I see his eyes just get bigger. It's like, you know, when you see a deer in traffic, the headlights. And he went and had a match.
Oh, it was something.
I loved every second of it. Just screaming the whole time. It was good.
It was rough.
So at that point, we'd been friends for a while. We always attend this event every year called Dragon Con. It's Labor Day weekend. It's also my birthday. And so like we stated earlier, so you build tons of cosplay stuff. We started going to this thing. And the first year that we went, we didn't have cosplay. We didn't even know what cosplay was. We went because they had a wrestling show, and we went and like wrestled on it or wanted to watch it, whatever it was. And we were there the next day, and like, man, we feel really weird just being in regular clothes, and everybody's in these awesome like anime costumes, like superheroes and stuff. I'm like, man, we got to get something. So we go to Walmart, and I'll let you.
Yeah, so true story. The reason why I even started doing cosplay, not fake story, true story. The reason why I even started doing cosplay is because of this story and how you kind of pushed me after it. So anyways, we go to Walmart. We're trying to find something. So my sister finds this brown towel that she cuts up and makes like a wood nymph outfit. I don't even
awesome.
Like, it is amazing.
It was awesome.
No idea. So Austin and I are walking. We're like, we got to do something. And we walk through the underwear aisle. And I just see his face get real wide. I'm like, what? What you got in mind? Because I'm like, please don't have anything to do with underwear. He goes, we can be the Fruit of the Loom guys. And I was like, oh, the cheesy guys on the front with their, you know, wearing underwear and one leg's up. And they're all happy, like all bunch of guys in underwear hanging out. And I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be funny. And then just kind of kept walking, thinking that we were done. Oh, no. This was real. So we pick up these underwear.
And they're like just cotton thong underwear.
Yeah, oh, man, they're brutal. So we get back to the place. And at the time, we didn't have a hotel, right? So we're in the parking garage of this convention. Putting on these underwear, right? Then Austin goes, man, we should have some tattoos. So back in my car, I'm like, yeah, of course. I got a marker. I'm a worker, of course. Got to sign autographs for 6 people. I've got to have a marker. So I open up the trunk, and there's a marker. Yeah, great. We pull it out. It's been in my trunk for like probably feels like 5 years. It's dry. nothing on it. So there we are spitting on this permanent drive. And my sister's drawing all these tattoos on us, right?
But even though we're spitting out to try to like get the ink out of it, it's like a needle almost. She's almost giving us tattoos.
You might as well get the real tattoo in this.
She's missing a cigarette. Well, yeah. Still, kid. So, at the time where this is happening, I wore the 3/4 length tights. So I had never had a reason to shave. Never had a reason to shave. So I put these thong underwear on. And Austin looks down, looks up, and goes, no. He's like, I'm like, what? He's like, man, you are. And I was like, I don't know how. I was bushing all over the place. Hair was everywhere.
The thighs were jungle.
Again, we're in a parking garage. So what do? I opened up my trunk. There's an old razor in there. So I get the old razor and look at Austin. He's, no. Like, we here now.
No. No shaving cream.
He's dry shaving.
What are we doing?
With an old razor.
His inner thighs in a parking lot. So bruh. So like me and Ebony are looking at him just like in total disgust. But if you're looking at him from the back, you see this, this like 6'2 human. He's huge, bald at the time, weird Sharpie tattoo on his back, crouched over, dry shaving his inner thighs.
Just in his drawers?
Just in his drawers. Thong underwear. So full cheeks
out. What is going
on? Y'all trying to get arrested.
What are y'all doing?
It's Dragica.
It's normal.
Why didn't you? I mean, like, you spit on the marker. Why didn't you, like, at least, like, spit and use, like, some moisture?
I'm not going to spit on my legs.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, that's the lie.
Oh, that's the lie. You got to
swear to
on my legs, sir. I'm a grown man. All right.
Was that just lube it on my legs?
It was just all these tiny, like, bloody
ass
marks.
Out.
All those inside thighs. We're like, yeah, we got it.
Oh, this is
our cosplay.
So that night was great. The next like 4 or 5 days, Mike. Oh, I've burnt so bad.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah.
I haven't shaved since. I have PTSD from it.
Oh, God.
Can't even bring trimmers there.
Oh, no. Oh, that's amazing. Because, you know, like, you guys are obviously like really into cosplay to this point. Like, you guys do so much amazing stuff. But to hear like the origins of like the
fucking. Dude, I have no idea.
Brutal. Just sitting in a parking lot, brutal. Ass out. Just dry shave it. Oh my God.
So listen to this one, right? Same year. We're walking through, and again, he just got on TNA, right? So people are asking for his autograph. He's signing autographs. So we start walking. As we're walking, up ahead of us, we see Lou Ferrigno, right?
Oh.
Now, this is important because as he was walking, he was like, if you catch me, I'll sign an autograph for you. So we're just walking. People would come up and he'd sign it, laughing, joking, ha-ha-ha.
So they have a thing called
Walk of Fame.
Walk of Fame, yeah. So Lou Ferrigno's on the Walk of Fame, and we were in there doing something, and we were Planeteers, but like really bad at Planeteers. I just had cargo shirts on and like a Planeteer shirt tucked into my waistband, so I could have my shirt off and be like, ha, I'm 19, look at me. And Lou Ferrigno's in the booth next to where we are, and he goes, hey, great body, kid. So I'm like, oh my God, Lou Ferrigno told me he had a great body.
The king of body guys.
Yes.
That's the one, man.
Incredible. So I'm on cloud 9. Then the next day.
So now, mind you, there's people following him for an autograph. I'm not talking, it's like a nice little crowd following him. We're walking up the stairs, and all of a sudden, Lou Ferrigno's coming down. So Austin goes, hey, Lou. Now, in front of everyone, Lou goes, not now, kid.
He's like, what? No.
Full, like, hand in the face.
Oh,
he Heisman'd you.
Like, wow. He didn't touch me, but he was very close as he said it, like, making sure I didn't get any closer to him. Completely demoralized.
That's a strong arm, too.
Oh, so strong.
You ain't
that's
penetrating
that. That's a real
that.
Strong arm. Oh, right. No.
Yeah, that was good. That's a great
now,
time.
Not now, kid.
So all of us are laughing, right?
Yeah, exactly. You wait, told remember, me I had a great body.
What happened to me?
What about my body, Lou?
Great body guy, huh?
Come on.
All this stuff happens at Dragon Con. And as far as getting ready for Dragon Con, we get our rooms the day that they open up.
Mm-hmm.
We get our couple of rooms, so we're set for the following September. But also what we have to do is plan what we're going to wear for this event,
yeah.
Because we at this point, we do like 6-7 cosplays in a short amount of time. And so Mosley is constantly like, we're on group text, we're making phone calls, but Mosley loves to FaceTime. And so sometimes I don't feel like FaceTiming. just text me or just regular call me. For like a 2-month span, I was like, I'm not picking up your FaceTimes. You FaceTime me every day. I can't talk to you on the phone every day.
I understand it. I completely get it. There's some FaceTime etiquette, by the way. Let me I have never in life you can't just FaceTime someone out of blue.
No.
You gotta set it up with a text.
Yeah.
You gotta set it up first.
Are you free?
Are you free? Exactly. Are you free for a FaceTime?
Listen.
Sure. Now you can't. You gotta warm me up for that. Yeah. You can't just jump
in. I FaceTime all you guys.
You do, and every time
we talk about it.
We do. We talked about this many times.
I want you to see my face. I want you to know my emotions.
When I call you,
if I text you, FaceTime on the way.
Something, just something,
anything.
So I should be like FT incoming.
Yeah, bro. I'll be in the car with my kids sometimes. You know, and you want to FaceTime. I'm just saying.
Okay, but what if I'm at home naked?
I'm driving the car. Well, then
now you FaceTiming naked, and now I'm FaceTiming naked. Now we naked. FaceTiming.
Nah, man.
So okay. Back to the story. So let me really tell the story.
Yeah, go ahead.
There I am, sweating, building costumes, foam in my hair, got all glue on my fingers. I'm calling them because I'm want to make sure this is great. Hey, Austin. Nope, no answer. FaceTime, sorry. Hey, Austin. FaceTime, nope. Austin, FaceTime, nope. Okay, that's cool. That's good. I done tried you about 15, 11 times. I'm not trying anymore. So we decided in January we're going to do serial characters. And he wanted to be Tony the Tiger. You're right. Okay, cool. I done called you. I done called you. And you didn't answer. So we get there and I've got on like this nice, I'm doing the leprechaun, lucky leprechaun. I got on this nice vest and a top hat and I got all the cool things on it. And my pants are all cool and sparkly and rhinestone. And then everyone else is all dressed all nice. It looks great. So he's like, hey, where's my stuff? I was like, oh, I got you. Give me a second. Give me a second. So I pull out this little bag. I'm talking like, this bag is like a Ziploc small, tiny bag. I throw it over to him. He's like, what's this? It's your costume. So he takes it out. It's a pair of tiger thongs and black fishnet shorts to go over top of it. And then I gave him like a little tail and some headband. He goes, what's this? And I legit, in front of everyone, said, next time I call you, you better. So now, from June until September, if I call, he answers.
Lesson learned. Lesson learned.
So that was the actual cut. You wasn't even like a joke
it.
Costume.
No, that was no.
So you had a rock Tony the Tiger on a thong and
like a tiger print thong, a tiger tail, and then little tiger like headband with ears on it.
Nobody knew who you are. But what are you? Oh, I'm Tony the Tiger.
How? That ain't great.
I was trying to like, we'd be taking pictures because everybody's in serial stuff, so we take big group pictures. And legit, every time we're like, if you have a group at Dragon Con and you stop to take pictures, more people are going to come up and take pictures because it's normally something. Oh, a group cosplay, that's interesting. And so legit, I could see people picking their phones up and then like making a face like, what the? All right, whatever. And I'm just like trying to do tiger stuff. Anytime we walk past people and they see that confusion, I'm like, they're great. Get it.
They're like, it's okay. I mean,
just walking around this con, cheeks out with fishnets on.
Oh, God.
You have a picture of that one?
I got like video of me playing DDR in it.
Oh, that's even better.
Damn.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
So I never had any, like I never had a drop of alcohol, like up till the time I was, 27, 28. And the first time that I did, I was with
this man here. So Dragon Con is an event where it's all very social. So you're talking to people, you're meeting new friends. And I'd lost my voice through wrestling or whatever, screaming and stuff. And so I was just really upset because I couldn't talk to anybody. So I'm just super frustrated. All I wanted was this bear coat that I saw on Workaholics.
We had to search for a minute, though, to find that coat because we went searching through the vendors and stuff like that. But yeah, so he didn't drink. And we always like were kind of weird about drinking around him. We were like, oh, we don't want to peer pressure you. So that night, he's got his bear jacket on. He looks at me. He goes, I think I'm going to do it. Now, at this point, I'm confused. I'm like, what are you going to do? How much bail money do we need? What's the situation? So he goes, no, I think I'm going to drink. So now I go into like good friend mode. Like, are you sure? Has anyone peer pressured you into doing this? You don't have to do it. No one's going to think you're less cool because you didn't do it. He's like, nah, I'm going to do it. So he drinks. And this is how quick it was. He takes some drinks. I go to the bathroom to change. I come back out and he's gone. Like, where's he at? Like, he left the room. Nobody knows where he's at. So now, the bear costume, yes.
And this is it?
This is it.
Glorious. It's a glorious bear costume.
The same exact one.
Yeah, I just wore this to PAX this last weekend and had it in my bag.
So we're all...
You're so proud of me.
He's very pleased with himself.
He's so pleased.
Very pleased.
For sure.
So now we got to try to find him. So we walk down to this rave. And we walk into this rave, and it's three ballrooms open. And all of a sudden we hear people, oh, Gobert. Oh, and I'm like, wait a second. We walk over there, out of his mind.
So as soon as I took the first drink, I told, like, we had a bunch of friends that I've been friends with since childhood there too, so like they know I just don't drink. So as soon as I took a shot, they're like, oh, and then the bar was lined up. And I took them all back in like 10 minutes and was like, I don't understand this whole thing. Like, everybody's supposed to get real weird. And I said that to them maybe 30 minutes in, and they looked at me like, yeah, you're there. And then I disappeared. And the next thing I remember is walking into this rave in this bear costume, just like roaring at people. And then I was just, from God. What I've seen, I was just doing like the Michael Jackson dances, yeah, in this bear costume.
From what I've seen.
So this year at Dragon Con, we did some dumb stuff. We dressed at the Iconics.
I think that was great.
It was great.
So great.
You remember when you did not want to do this, sir?
I do.
Do you remember when someone had to convince you to do this, sir?
Well, because like, I wrestle for a living, and it's wrestling's a lot, and then you're like, oh, let's do more wrestling stuff on your free time. I was like, I don't want to.
But, sir, do you remember when someone had to convince you to do it,
yes,
sir?
Yes, yes.
Do you remember how you said to me, this is stupid, it'll never get over,
sir? I would never say that phrase.
Oh, how are you going to sit in a bear costume and lie?
This'll never get over.
What? This'll never... No, I'm sorry. Wait, like, this will be a big enough say. Pop?
Yeah, I'll say that.
And I had to convince you. And all of a sudden, now, doing this wrestling thing has become part of our deal. Now, as Iconics, looking good, might I say. My legs were nice and not shaved, but lotioned. It was a good moment.
Right. I remember getting tagged a lot because people didn't realize that I am not you.
If you guys have social
like
media.
You. I don't look like you. I don't
this think. Is Biggie, and I'm Michael Mosley.
Right.
He's not Scorpion. Yeah. We no. did not finish them and win the tag titles. We are not the same person. We look not. Nothing alike.
We don't.
He is much handsomer.
Oh,
than
you
I am.
Smell shucks. Like that. It's your show. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.
What a good man. Good man.
So we try to do something special for him every birthday. And this year, we decided to go a little extra. So we had him meet us downstairs. When he gets downstairs, we hand him a pair of random glasses. And we say, don't ask questions, just walk. All right, I'll let you go from there. What was your experience from it?
Okay, so I got dropped off like a lift or whatever, and I pull up and somebody just hands me the glasses, and I'm like, okay, cool, like I'll go with this. Because it's always like, hey, you trust me? We do that a lot where we won't tell people what's going on. We say, you trust me? And you either yes or no. If nope, okay, see you later. We won't hang out with you this weekend.
It's very Aladdin and Jasmine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You trust me?
No.
So somebody says you trust me, you just follow. So I got these weird glasses on. We go to the elevator. As soon as we get off the elevator, there's a bunch of people screaming and like trying to get autographs on stuff. I'm like, what the hell is going on? What? And they walk all the way to our room in the hotel, and it says Powerline's dressing room on it. We go in, and now they have all this Powerline themed stuff. So they threw me a Powerline themed birthday party.
Aww.
Wow.
But let's go back into wrestling for a little bit. One of the first big things that we got to do together was when, or not the first, one of the big things we've gotten to do together is when we got to dress up as characters from Final Fantasy at WrestleMania. So do you guys remember Triple H pulling us into the room?
Yes.
You want to tell a story?
I'm bad with stories because my memory isn't great. But I just said yes. I was with you. Yeah, okay. Yes, I remember.
I was going to give you a little opening.
No, that's it.
So we're at whatever live event, and Triple H normally isn't on those. And so for him to be there, we're like, oh, okay, cool. It's going to match. But before the show, he pulls us into his locker room. He's like, yeah, I want to talk to you guys real quick. So I always think we're in trouble. Yeah. Someone asks us to go into a room.
Some of us have been in trouble.
Yes. I'm not me. So anyway, we're talking to him, just kind of going over things, and he goes, hey, do you guys know about this game called Final Fantasy?
Such a weird statement from Triple H.
Yeah, man. Right.
For someone who have played Final Fantasy like in middle school, playing all of them growing up, and you know, what would your younger self say? One of these days, Triple H is going to put you into a room, he's going to ask you about this game. What?
Yeah, with no very segue. Strange.
With no, yeah.
Like, man, what about like, that Final Fantasy, guys?
Like he's telling us about something.
Yeah. So like, yeah, we love that game. And he's like, oh, or that series. He's like, yeah, I think they want to do something with you guys at Mania. Sir? Well, of course. Yeah, they want you to dress as some characters. All right, cool. And so as soon as we get more information about it, they're like, oh, you know, they'll get somebody to like make some outfits and things like that. And I was like, well, hold on. We've got just the guy. So we worked very closely with you, Mosley, on making those Final Fantasy things. Can you talk about that process?
Yeah, so it was really cool. I think we had 10 days to build the entire, well, I'm sorry, 10 days from when we were notified to the time Mania was. So within that 10 days, we had to build everything. So they had our entire team come down. And it was a really cool experience, more so because since Austin and I were young, one of the things that we always talked about was being able to travel, but then also getting to spend, you know, like the bro time and stuff like that. So it was a really, really cool experience. But more than that, man, like actually seeing the entire process from beginning to end and being hands on with you guys. Like one of my fondest memories is the kimono. I don't know if you remember the kimono.
He starts flowing around with it.
It was a very comfortable kimono, in my defense. One that I could wear around the house.
Did you ever wear it around?
No, because I sold it.
Did you?
I sell all my gear. I'm not sentimental like you fools holding on to it. I let it go.
You fools.
You'd have been sold this bear outfit.
You fools.
I just imagine somebody right now with a shrine to Biggie with all this random stuff.
It's one person. I don't know where it goes. I don't
wasn't
know what
it, wasn't
do
it one
do
person for a while buying like all your stuff for a while?
Yeah, one person was. Yeah,
so
cool.
There might be a shrine.
I don't tell you what to do. Once it's yours, do what you want with it.
It's yours.
Whatever comes to mind, that's on you.
Oh, it's like that.
Yeah.
So we built the whole thing, and then the coolest part about it was getting to see it actually happen as you guys are walking down. There's very few times in my adult life that I have cried tears of joy.
Oh, boy.
I kid you not. And I know that they have the cameras on and stuff, and I just started pouring. It's like that moment, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, this is it. This is the pinnacle of what I've done so far. And then building it for my friends, and then watching them come out, and then hearing the crowd react, and it was like vicariously getting that appreciation from it. You know what I mean? So it was a cool moment. Even when you almost derailed on the bike.
You almost drove off.
Oh, that was so scary coming down the ramp with the ice cream bicycle, man, and the umbrella. So they didn't like fasten the umbrella into the bike. So now like we're supposed to be having all this fun and we're going down the ramp, but the wind had picked up. And I remember we actually had a camera on the ice cream bike.
Yeah, you got to watch the 360
video.
And
then all of a sudden the umbrella starts to go out. And I'm like, oh my God, luckily I saw it. Luckily I wasn't looking to the left or to the right. I saw it coming out and I grab it. And now I'm trying to like steer this awkward bicycle with this ice cream vat on it. And now I'm holding the umbrella at the same time, trying to make sure it doesn't fly off into the crowd. Because that would have killed somebody, you know?
It was a lot.
That would have been a lawsuit, you know? So it was just a very scary experience coming down, man. Yeah, that was...
But it was cool. The whole thing was really awesome.
Yeah.
That was also, that was the Mania that we hosted. Yeah. And I think one of the enduring moments from that Mania is that was later in the show. So we come out, I think we had three segments total. But the middle segment, I believe, was when we reintroduced the Hardys.
Yeah.
And that moment, I think, will be replayed for quite some time because I think that's one of the coolest returns in quite some time. And I get like, goosebumps just thinking about
it. Yeah, man.
It's weird to call that one of the highlights of your career, but it was such an incredible moment. And like everything leaks now. Everything gets leaked or people know about it or people see someone come into the building. But that was one of the things that was hidden so well. And for us to be a part of that was really cool. So it was cool to like, hey, we watched that video. Every few months, it'll come on the timeline or whatever. And that's the stuff that, Mosley was a part of making.
Yeah, it's fun. And then the stuff the night after was also a lot of fun.
The exploding backpack.
Remember? Because that was our original plan for Mania.
Yeah. Yes.
We had Triple H stuff.
Was that when we had the Legion of Doom?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Shoulder pads, right?
Yeah.
Gosh. And they were like, we want confetti And they're like, no confetti. And then they're upset that it wasn't
the cereal.
Cereal. Yeah. You couldn't see anything. Well, right. We wanted confetti.
Because they didn't want the confetti to mess with like the LEDs or whatever. So we couldn't use the confetti. But we were like, we pay for it anyways. And we have this ice cream stuff. So we might as well wear it.
Right.
Because it's so difficult to transport. We couldn't save it for next Mania. It's like, let's just wear it and be done with it.
Yeah. I actually have that those shoulder pads stored above in my garage. So I see it pretty much like every week, every other week. And every time I see it, man, I'm like, it's so cool. I wish we got more like play out of it, you know? Just the ice cream cones as the spikes, you know, the cherries and the cherries on top, ridiculous. You know, and then the lights that would go around it. Oh, it was so cool. It was so cool.
My favorite part of that whole costume, though, was we built these boxing gloves.
Yeah. Apollo Creed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Apollo Creed. Yeah.
But yeah, that was a cool moment, man. Just the whole process, like I said, it was awesome from beginning to end. And just the appreciation and the treatment and everything, it was a good time. It was probably my favorite experience, actually, building costumes.
And I touched on it, like, you know, when we talked about it with Megaram, but to have somebody that can fit so seamlessly into our process, the going back and forth, you know, FaceTimes aside, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's always seamless, you know what I'm saying, with you. And I always appreciate everything that you put out for us. We did something with the Red Lanterns, right?
Oh, yeah.
A while ago, those outfits.
That was
Dragon Ball
that,
gear,
yeah.
You know?
So the Red Lantern stuff was a lot of fun. And it was because you guys gave so much leeway. You're like, I want to do something Red Lanterns.
Yeah.
Have fun. And so that whole process was great.
And we're talking about DC Comics here for comic book nerds out there. The Green Lantern and every light, you know, represents an emotion. The Red Lantern was anger. And we were angry at that point in our time, you know, that we were, I don't know who we were.
The Usos.
The Usos. And now we were coming. So New Day was showing a new light and it was anger, you know, and we came out with the Red Lantern stuff and Mott did a cool pair of like sneakers for me.
SummerSlam? So
it might've been SummerSlam. I think it was in Brooklyn too, wasn't it? Brooklyn?
Yeah. And I think that was, we were on the pre-show for that one, and we were also angry because we were on the pre-show.
Right.
When we were in the midst of this, at the point, very hot program with Usos. And we thought, sometimes I'm like, I'm okay with like, okay, we're going to be on the kickoff, but we have more time.
Yeah.
This is the one time it didn't even cross my mind because this program was going so well.
Yeah.
I thought for sure we're on the main card. And then when we heard we're not, we were just more fired up to be like, all right, we're going to kill
just
this.
Just rage.
And that's when the
rage.
Finish changed three times.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was just telling a story yesterday to somebody.
D-Von was our agent, and we had a finish, and
In the middle of the day.
Right.
We were done so early.
Yeah, we love working with the Usos. We love putting matches together with them. And we finally, okay, we put everything together. We had it down. We have time to relax. We're on early. You know, the kickoff starts fairly early, and we were before the main card starts. So to be on and then have to be done with it around rehearsal time, and then nope. Our finish changed three times. And then it's not as simple as, okay, we'll just change one move here. We got to, okay, if the Usos are up, the way we want to structure it, we have to kind of tweak several spots to get the momentum rolling that way. If the Usos are going to be up, we want to take more of the match.
It was us up and then them up. Like we had so we got done with the match and then maybe like 2 hours before the show started, it switched to them being up. And then like 10 minutes before match time, it switched to us being up.
So it ended up with us winning.
Yes. But we had, at that point, we had now put like three different back ends of the match together. So essentially, like right before the music hits, they're like, oh, we're switching the finish again. Oh, okay. And it was like a 25-minute match.
Yeah, we had some time.
And so we're just like, okay, we'll make it work.
Yeah, it was
so
frustrating.
We're mad, like in gimmick.
Real
but
rage.
But then, like, shoot mad.
And then shoot mad.
The
yeah.
Like this.
A lot of rage going on. A lot of rage.
Did I tell you, you guys got me and my homeowners association to change the rules? Got me in trouble, but you got the homeowners association to make a no filming rule. And my so now they're like, you can't film in the streets anymore.
Wow, there were some people looking at us in disgust.
So this was around, we were doing the mixed match challenge stuff, and we were all so excited just about doing silly stuff with Carmella, and she was great. So we did this thing where one of the videos that we shot, and this we just decided to do this on our own, and was this your idea? Woodsy?
The leotard
thing?
To do
the dance stuff with her.
Yeah, because she did pancake stuff with us. We're like, okay, well, what does she do that we could, like she could teach us. Yep. And so it was dance.
Right.
First, we filmed stuff at the gym.
Yes.
I think the dance stuff, we filmed that with Carmela at the beginning and the end. And then we went to Mosley's house to essentially like train for being better at dancing so that when we saw Carmela again, we would know this dance that she taught us. And so at one point, we're wearing just like black dance leotards running around in Mosley's neighborhood as he like chases us with a truck. Like it was very,
Rocky,
very weird.
Balboa,
we
were showing a lot of skin. Right? Yeah.
And we see families just peeking their heads out.
There
and
was like
it.
Legit
very bizarre.
Disgust. People looking at us in disgust.
I would be
like,
too.
Get these guys in leotards out of my neighborhood now. Now.
So they sent us a letter.
I get why.
You can't do this anymore. Next time you'll be fined. And then they had a whole HOA meeting about changing the food.
There we go. We changed something.
That's right.
That's there so good. Go. Yeah, be the change you want to see right. in the world. So we all have a connection before I actually knew you guys. Let me explain why. Kofi, one of my boys growing up, his name was David Owens.
David Owens.
Do you recognize that name?
My debut match.
Your debut match.
Kimo.
Kimo. Him and I trained Kimo, together, right?
Yeah.
So, and when I was working, I was like, I want to do something different. So I used to come out with the GBA, the greatest black athlete. And I come out in boxing gloves and I go to the top ropes, right? So I put on a swim cap. I put on a swim cap and do a dive from the top ropes. So it was all this athletic stuff. Right? So that's what it was.
The swim cap makes you more athletic.
So I'd go up there, swim cap, goggles, just horrible idea. And so I tried to do things different. And so one of the things I liked when you first started, you did the stance, but you also did the leapfrogs, you did backwards. So I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. So I did it like that. And that was, okay, cool. That was fun. But then Big E, yours is a little bit different. So your moves, I was like, yo, Big E, debuts, my dude. Knew nothing. I was like, I like this guy. So I'm going to steal all his stuff, right? So this is 100% true, by the way. So I took the big ending and stuff like that. So in my mirror, when I was trying, you know, to make it, there's a picture of you, The Rock, and Triple H. And I was like,
one of them does not belong.
Listen. I was like, I want moves like this guy. I want psychology like this guy. I want ring work like, promo work like this guy. Great. Cool. So then I stop and we're about to move whenever you come over. And I have a box. And on top of that box, when you walked in, was a picture that I have an 8x10 that was on my mirror. And you walked in, I was like, oh no. Oh no. He's going to see this. So you walked in, I was like, trying to keep your attention the whole way as you walked in. Hey, come on in. It's cool. Come on in, guys. Don't look
here.
Down. Eyes up. Come on. Come on.
I had no idea.
Yeah, so I used a big ending for a minute.
There you go.
It was fun time. And I did the powder. Oh man, I feel bad now.
Oh, so, you stole the whole gimmick.
Wait, steal it.
So yeah, swagger jacket. It's the indies. Everything's stolen. So I went up to the rope zone. I did LeBron James style. So if I see the clap, clap, and then the
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I had the mohawk, man. It was just straight swagger jacket.
Yeah,
man. Respect that.
And I switched to a singlet, man. It was
what? I didn't know this.
It keeps getting deeper.
Yeah, I changed my name legally.
Yeah. So I'm now Big M. So anyways, you came over. I was like, oh no. Like trying to hide it. Like, please don't look down. Just keep. Please don't.
Oh no.
I can't look this one down.
Would you say that he's your idol then?
No. That's crazy.
You didn't even have to think about it.
No.
I didn't have to think about his moves. When he was working.
Not the person. Not,
yeah, yeah.
His moves.
Can't stand the human.
He wasn't funny. We talked about earlier. I was like, bro, I thought you were boring at first. He's like, yeah, I had to be. I was like, well, you're funny now. You're great. But yeah, it was a good time.
Good time.
Sounds like
good time.
Well, Mosley, thank you for being on and giving us some time out of your extremely busy schedule.
Can I be called Big M from now on?
I don't know if I wanted to know
I'll
that
support
information.
That Big M.
Big M.
Big M. What kind of count you got? 3-4?
I'm going to go with a 6 count.
Ooh.
6
count. Oh, one-upper.
Oh, how dare you.
A one-upper. Green mushroom over here.
I had to bring down 5. You can only do that with one hand.
4 ain't enough, man. I need 6. I like that song. That's a great song.
How dare you.
That's a great song.
Take it back.
All right, well, thank you guys all for listening to this. We appreciate you. If you want to stay a part of the conversation on the socials, use hashtag NewDayPod to let us know how you feel. And make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter. You can catch me at Xavier Woods, PhD. And I'm probably hosting something related to video games at some point near you, so check me out.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at True Kofi. You can follow me on Instagram at The True Kofi.
And I'm at WWE Big E on Twitter and on Instagram. And that's it. I have nothing else.
Oh, burn out for the day.
Yeah, I burnt out.
Okay.
I burnt out.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't care if you guys follow me or not, because I don't need your follows. I don't need your admiration. But if you choose to, it's The Real Michael Mosley on everything. And that's Michael spelled M-I-K-A-L-M-O-S-L-E-Y. The Real Michael Mosley.
Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts to help get the word out.
That's right. And if you like the show, go ahead and share the podcast with your friends, your buddies, your compadres, your amigos, all that. And if your friends don't know how or where to listen to the podcast, show them. Show them. Show them. Honestly, I mean, it's as simple as Googling The New Day. Feel the power. And you'll see lots of different ways to listen. Lots and lots and lots. All of them for what? The free.
And that's not a deal.
That's a steal.
Yeah. And if you use an Android, follow the show on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode of your boy.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Thank you for listening.